This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Rainbow Report this week on mental health. Mental health, especially young GLBTIQ mental health, is decidedly the flavour of the month. It got a big boost in both state and federal budgets. Some say that if only they would let them give us a lifestyle makeover from homo to hetero, then the high rates of depression, self-harm and suicide in the gay community would drop dramatically anyway. But we know that's not going to happen. The research shows the exact opposite. The more you try to force us to go against the way we were born, the more likely we are to try to damage ourselves. Wise governments realise that this problem has two sides. You have to treat the mental illness that arises because we live in a society that doesn't value us as full human beings. And we'll be talking about that side of things with Victorian Mental Health Minister Mary Wooldridge later in the show and with Headspace CEO Chris Tanti. But treating mental illness is expensive. Far better if we can prevent it arising in the first place. And for us, that means making changes so that we are accepted and celebrated as full and equal citizens in all parts of society. And that has to start at school, often the most dangerous place for young same-sex attracted people, closely followed by the footy club. In the studio today, I have Ros Ward of the Safe Schools Coalition Victoria, who knows firsthand what a huge positive difference it makes for both gay and straight kids when you create an accepting and welcoming environment. Also joining me is Rob Mitchell, who only yesterday was giving the AFL yet another kick in the arse for dropping the ball when it comes to tackling homophobia. And we'll have a chat with Daniel Jackson from the AFL Players Association about what they are doing to tackle homophobia in the AFL and why the hierarchy doesn't. But first, joining us on the line is the man who is the recipient of so much money from both governments to help and support and heal young people suffering from depression, Chris Tanti, the CEO of Headspace. You can join in too. This is how you do it.
You're listening to the Rainbow Report. Send us your thoughts, SMS 0427 Joy 949, or send your reports to 0427 569 949.
And this is Doug Pollard. With me in the studio, Rob Mitchell.
Good afternoon, Doug.
And Ros Ward.
Hello.
And joining us on the line, Chris Tanti. Good morning, Chris. Hello, Chris. Have we lost Mr. Tanti there? Yeah, I think we have. He was on the line a moment ago. Let's see if we can get him back again. Meanwhile, Rob.
Doug.
Headspace. You've been working quite a bit with Headspace.
I have been working quite a bit with Headspace, and gee, what a change to back a winner. obviously, the interaction we've had with Headspace over the last couple of years has been fantastic, and you know what a difference it makes when you've got really competent, committed leadership in an organisation, particularly around GLBTI mental health, which you know for so long has been, as the research from La Trobe tells us, you know, a bit of a train wreck. It's a real difference to be able to interact with an organisation that's not only committed to the task, but is obviously now with the recent budget announcements, both in the federal budget and the state budget, you know, has got the wherewithal to actually deliver some services for GLBTI.
Now they've got a fair amount of money, haven't they, one place or another?
Well, they have. They've not only got the federal money, which amounts to some hundreds of millions of dollars, and no doubt Chris will talk to that, but also there's some state government money there as a result of some representations made by the Minister for Mental Health in Victoria, Mary Wooldridge. So, you know, they've certainly got plenty of air in their tyres.
I think we now have Chris Tanti back again. Hello, Chris.
G'day. How are you, Doug? Sorry about that. Don't know what happened.
You know how it goes. You must feel like all your Christmases have come at once with all the money that's being thrown at you at the moment.
It's Christmas time, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
So what are you going to do with this money?
Well, we're going to roll out 90 Headspace centres around the country, and what that means on a sort of practical basis is that we'll be able to reach areas where there's a population of more than 10,000 people. So, I mean, now I think that's just absolutely fantastic.
And in with this, you know, what specifically is going to help LGBTI young people?
Sorry, I missed your question, Dave.
I can say, what specifically in this is going to be of help to LGBTI young people?
Well, look, we're a centre that offers services to young people aged 12 to 25, and we don't have strict criteria around the entry. So the entry is basically you need to be 12 to 25, and we don't assess beyond that. So it's not like a public mental health system where there is strict criteria. So we actually have quite a lot of young people who come to Headspace centres that are same-sex attracted. In fact, I've just spent the morning with the Prime Minister in the Headspace Centre in Sunshine, and there was a young gender-questioning guy who has spent quite a bit of time with the Prime Minister talking about the sorts of issues he faces and the challenges that he faces. And it was just really terrific to see the Prime Minister completely open to the discussion.
Now, we've got Ros Ward here from the Safe Schools Coalition. Morning, Ros. Do you want to come in on this?
It sounds like a fantastic opportunity that a young person gets to speak to the Prime Minister out there. My kind of question about Headspace, and we've done some work with you guys as well on some new fact sheets, I think, that are going to be coming out soon, specifically looking at young people, aimed at young people who are same-sex attracted and gender questioning and their own kind of dealing with their own kind of mental health issues.
Yep.
I guess that there has been a tendency to have kind of like a mixed response that young people themselves have told us about Headspace. And I guess for me, it's just getting that consistency across the board, especially when you're talking about 90 new centres. It's a lot of places to kind of get the message right in each one of them around gender and sexual diversity.
Yeah, look, I think you're right, and one of the things you can't legislate for. I mean, certainly we have a very welcoming policy, and we're very clear with all the centres that about the Headspace policy in respect of this and other issues. You can't, you know, I'm interested to hear from those young people who may experience problems in Headspace centres. Because I think what happens when people are in a consulting room is they may not experience what the policy sort of dictates should occur. And I'm really keen to make sure that all our practitioners are very clear on this point, that we welcome all people to Headspace centres, and the important issue is that we need to tackle is how to get them back on track and how to support them through the problem they're experiencing, regardless of who they are or what their issue is.
Yeah, because there is a kind of catch-22 going on with a lot of this, isn't it? Because if you make it really, really obvious that, you know, you're running an event or an open day for gay teenagers or whatever else, people will stay away because they don't want to be seen to be identifying with something that's openly gay. So you have to keep your sort of portal broad in order to make sure they come through, but then you have to get them to disclose what the problem is.
Well, that's exactly right, and this occurs in a whole variety of settings for young people and for people of any age, really, that are coming out. I mean, I think you're right. The first port of call has to be broad, but it also has to be welcoming, and people need to feel like they're in an environment where they can disclose whatever their problem is, and that can take some time. So it has to be a very safe environment. And if our rhetoric's not meeting up with our practice, then there's a problem.
Yeah, because I remember when I was talking to Daniel Whithouse on his tour around Australia last year, he found one or two Headspace centres who didn't really have their heads around LGBTI issues particularly well, and were referring people off elsewhere.
Yeah, and that's a shame from my perspective. I mean, I don't know why that would occur. It doesn't make any sense to me at all, clinically or intuitively. So,
I guess it's down to training of your people, isn't it, really?
Well, it is about the training about our people, but it's also, you know, I mean, some of this is straight up and down professional conduct. I would be concerned to hear those sorts of things.
Ros?
Yeah, I think the other thing for me is, you know, saying that every Headspace centre, you know, welcomes every young person regardless of gender and sexual identity is one part of it, but also then recognising the effects of homophobia and transphobia on young people, and kind of having that knowledge and understanding of what it means to be same-sex attracted and what effect that has on your mental health. So it's having the staff capable of kind of understanding those issues, as well as being welcoming and not just saying, you know, regardless of your sexuality, because people's sexuality is so important.
Well, I don't think you can do one without the other.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck with it, because you've got virtually everything you could possibly want to do this, and we're all obviously very keen for you to make a success of it, Chris.
We're keen to make a success of it, and look, it has been a pretty huge success from my perspective, and, you know, it doesn't mean that we're getting all things right, and some things will emerge over time in terms of, you know, the priorities and making sure that we target our professionals around these sorts of issues and other issues as well. So we're a new organisation. We've been around for 4 years, but in that time we've seen 45,000 young people who have presented with a whole range of issues. But I'm very keen to hear from the public if people are feeling excluded and they're not feeling like they're being supported through their, through their problem, then I want to know about it.
Okay, well, we'll make sure we send anybody right through to you.
Good on you, that'd be great.
All right, thank you very much for your time this morning, Chris.
Thank you, cheers.
That was Chris Tanti there, the CEO of Headspace.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.